Hello, I'm Roisin Hasty with the BBC News. The former US President Jimmy Carter has died at the age of 100. A Democrat, he took office in 1977 and served just one term. Gary O'Donoghue in Washington looks back at his life.
Jimmy Carter made the leap from the governor's mansion in Georgia to the White House in 1977, pitching himself as an honest outsider, a fresh face for an office still tainted by the scars of Watergate and Vietnam. The first Southern president since before the Civil War, he embraced modern concerns such as feminism and the environment, putting solar panels on the White House roof. He also brokered the landmark Camp David peace accords, which saw Egypt recognise Israel's existence for the first time. But a protracted hostage crisis in Iran, coupled with spiralling inflation and rising unemployment at home, sealed his fate as a one-term president. Few, though, have used the status of former president to such effect. He established the Carter Center as a base for promoting democracy and human rights around the world. And 22 years after leaving office, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize.
President Biden has led tributes to Mr. Carter, describing him as an extraordinary leader, statesman and humanitarian. President-elect Donald Trump said Americans owed Mr. Carter a debt of gratitude for the challenges he'd faced during his presidency at a pivotal time for the country. The French President Emmanuel Macron said Mr. Carter had been a steadfast advocate for the rights of the vulnerable and had tirelessly fought for peace. Jimmy Carter spoke to the BBC about his legacy.
I think my legacy has been perpetuated, whatever it might be, by a commitment to peace instead of constant wars. During my term of office, we had many challenges from the Soviet Union, from other sources, but we had peace as a priority. And we maintained the peace for our own country and brought it to other people as well. And the other one was the insistence on the application of human rights as a foundation for democracy and freedom.
Investigators are struggling to identify the remains of those killed in the worst air disaster on South Korean soil. All but two of the 181 people on board the Jeju Air flight were killed when the plane crash-landed at high speed, smashed into a concrete wall and exploded in flames. Hundreds of shopkeepers in Tehran's Grand Bazaar have taken part in a protest against the Iranian government's handling of the economy. Businesses closed on Sunday as crowds of demonstrators shouted slogans, complaining that trading was becoming impossible because of the plunging value of the local currency. World News from the BBC. With almost all the votes in Croatia's presidential election counted, official results suggest the incumbent Zoran Milanovic will narrowly fail to win an outright victory in the first round. Guy Delaunay has the latest.
The only disappointment for Zoran Milanovic was that exit polls had predicted he'd taken more than half the votes, and thus overall victory in the first round. The last time that happened in a Croatian presidential election was the 1990s. But the incumbent's margin of victory was still enormous. Mr. Milanovic secured 49% of the vote. The government's favoured candidate, Dragan Primorac, could only take 19%. None of the other six hopefuls made double figures. The two men will contest a runoff in a fortnight, but voters have already indicated they're keen for Mr. Milanovic to continue holding Croatia's government to account.
A national dialogue conference is due to begin in Syria within the next week, during which armed factions, including the ruling HTS and parliament, are scheduled to be dissolved. 1,200 Syrians are expected to be invited, representing political groups, civil society, young people, women and clerics. Tens of thousands of people in the Spanish city of Valencia have held a protest to denounce the government's handling of the deadly floods that devastated the region 2 months ago. There were calls for the provincial president, Carlos Mazón, to resign. 223 people died in the Valencia region. An Indian teenager has become the youngest female to complete the Seven Summits Challenge, scaling the highest peaks on each of the world's seven continents. Kamya Kartikeyan achieved the feat by reaching the top of Antarctica's Mount Vinson. Over the past 4 years, she's also successfully scaled Africa's Mount Kilimanjaro, Europe's Mount Elbrus, Australia's Mount Kosciuszko, South Africa's Mount Aconcagua, Mount Denali in North America, and Mount Everest in Asia.